The vibe may seem laid back, but the conversation we're about to have could change how you see an entire group of patients. Osteoporosis care usually means scans, prescriptions, maybe surgical repair. But what if we looked at high-risk patients in a new light? Not as fragile, but as candidates for getting stronger, steadier, and more confident. Joining us is Dr. Payal Sahni, one of the most interesting and vibrant voices in bone health care. She's here to share the untapped power of physical therapy and why it should be central to preventing fractures before they happen and keeping patients moving before they do. We'll dive into strength, balance, confidence, and the role of PT in rethinking how we care for patients at risk. Welcome to another episode of the Bone Health Basement Tapes. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bone Health Basement Tapes. I'm Peter Bianco. Today, we have a very special conversation with Dr. Payal Sahni, a doctorate in physical therapy at Burke Rehab Hospital in West Nyack, New York. Welcome, Dr. Sahni.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while because, you know, you're pretty well known in the bone health world, you know, I have to admit. And you and I have known each other for a while. And this is a very interesting conversation, and some of the conversations we've had over the last few years about where PT fits into bone health and the opportunity, I think, to really expand PT's role in a lot of different areas. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. But first, before we get into it, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to physical therapy, specifically in bone health. And how you came to doing what you're doing.
So again, thank you, Peter, for that introduction. I'm really humbled. To tell you a little bit about my background and how I got into this is I'll take you back to 2008 when I started working at Helen Hayes Hospital in Haverstraw, New York, where Dr. Lindsay and Dr. Cosman had the bone health clinic. And just one day, and I was an outpatient therapist in the orthopedic department. And just one day we had an email from Dr. Lindsay and Dr. Cosman's department saying that we need someone from physical therapy to run an education session, like a community education session on postural training or postural strengthening in patients with osteoporosis. Right. And I've always liked to do these kind of education sessions. It was just my personal thing, but they were never always focused on osteoporosis. But that one time, seeing this as an opportunity to do another outreach, I was like, hey, yes, I will do this. So I volunteered to do this. And I started preparing this talk. And that was the first time I started looking into research on osteoporosis because I wanted to educate myself before I could go into this community in community outreach and try to educate people. So when I started looking, I was surprised to see how little research in terms of physical therapy was there. It won't be true at this point. We have plenty of research as far as physical therapy and osteoporosis are concerned. But at that time, I couldn't really find much. So I couldn't find really much research as far as specific to osteoporosis, postural training, types of exercises and things of that sort, which I wanted to bring to the community. So I was sitting there scratching my head, going back to the clinical reading, trying to read everything and trying to make sense of stuff and trying to put studies together that were done for other orthopedic reasons in patients who had underlying conditions of osteoporosis. You know, I just wanted to educate myself and give the right kind of information to the community. That's how I got into it. And then I just kept getting deeper and deeper and got involved with Dr. Lindsay's clinic, Dr. Cosman. I learned a lot from them. I give a lot of credit to them. So I'm very, very thankful that I got to work with them. And yeah, that's how my journey started.
Well, you fell into the right crowd as far as getting an education. I remember you introduced me to Dr. Lindsay. I had a really great conversation with him a few years ago, and it was like really changed my perspective on everything as far as the challenges of all of this, right? You know, and he's obviously been at it since the beginning. But so you know, you've been at this a while now, and you've been seeing patients specifically with osteoporosis. So what makes physical therapy uniquely suited to preventing fractures and maintaining independence in from osteoporosis, in your view?
So before we go into specifics of osteoporosis, we all know it's established that physical therapy helps in maintaining functional independence of individuals, period.
Right, period.
Period, yeah. Right? Specifically for osteoporosis, physical therapy helps with preserving and improving bone mass, muscle strength, endurance, balance, and an individual's overall confidence in performing dynamic activities. Now, that's a right. big thing, because once a patient gets this diagnosis of osteoporosis or even low bone mass, and their fear of fracturing stops them or makes them develop these kind of avoidance behaviors where they're now afraid to attempt certain activities thinking that they might sustain a fracture.
So right. That's understandable. Yeah, that's a human thing.
That's
right?
a very yeah. human thing, and it's very real. I have to tell you that. Mm-hmm. And that really leads to inactivity or reduced activity or altered activity, leading to other kind of functional problems, because they get limitations from range of motion limitations, balance limitations, and then just increases their risk of fractures and falls even more. So it becomes like a cycle.
So what you're kind of saying is, so once a patient has a fracture and they're coming to you for rehab, you notice that they're now afraid of a second fracture, obviously, as well they should be. So they avoid certain things, which starts a cascade of comorbidities, basically.
Absolutely.
Is what you're saying.
And they don't right. have to have a fracture for that cascade to start. That can start, this cascade can start. That's what I was trying to tell you, that this cascade doesn't need a fracture. This cascade will start right from the point a patient gets told that you have low bone mass and you're at a risk of falls and fractures.
Right, even in primary fractures.
Even primary, before even they get their primary fracture, these avoidance behaviors start to some extent. And then it becomes a cascade, and it just gets even more compounded just in case there's a primary right. fracture down the line. So so PT really is key at every point of this cycle, whether a patient has had a fracture or not.
You know, it's interesting because now explain to me, now maybe it's unique for your setting, I don't know, but how does a patient with osteoporosis get to you? How are they referred to you? Where do they come from?
So that's really a $1 million question you're asking right now.
Well, I only want 800,000 for that.
Okay, I'll try to meet that. I'll try that. So in my personal experience and the information that I've tried to accumulate and the way I've treated patients, there's two types of approaches when a patient gets referred to physical therapy. One approach is your regular standard approach, where a provider takes the initiative of referring a patient to physical therapy, be it for fracture prevention or rehab post fracture. That's sure. that's your, you know, standard approach. That's your standard pathway. More than that, what I've seen in my experience is the reverse pathway, where I am reaching out to the providers and telling them, oh, this patient has underlying osteoporosis, has balance problems. We've done their post-fracture rehab. We're done with that. But I think we could help them more if we got a referral for osteoporosis.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, I have never had a problem getting a provider on board once I reach out to them.
Right.
So that's the pathway that I followed. But my dream is that a standard pathway gets established.
Well, that's all our dream.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. we share all of that.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
now we can show that you can actually do it sustainably, you know, in a way that makes sense. And it's so what I'm also kind of hearing from you, and this is what I've been curious about, in that you're actually kind of, you know, one of our pillars for ASOP, we have these five pillars. The first one is patient identification, right? And we, you know, we put a lot of time and energy looking at all of these AI devices that are coming online now that have, you know, made it through the FDA, and our suggestion is that they go into the orthopedic workflow, standard X-ray, algorithm runs, bang, this patient is at risk. But you're way downstream from that, right? And what kind of strikes me is that you're kind of a low-tech version of that, right? Where you can see a patient who's come in, maybe they just had a total knee or something like that, and you're doing their rehab, and you're going, you know what? Have you ever been diagnosed or had a DEXA scan? And, you know, I'm curious to know in your experience whether that has actually happened. And at what percentage do you think of your patients who would be eligible for a DEXA scan haven't gotten one? And you're the one that's identifying them as being at risk.
I can't give you exact numbers, but I can tell you a lot.
I had a feeling.
In all these years that I've been treating orthopedic populations, post-operative, post-fractures, primary, secondary, you name it.
By the time they reach you, osteoporosis hasn't even come up by that time.
And
right?
that happens a lot. That right. happens a lot. Patients are eligible for a DEXA scan, but they haven't gone for a DEXA scan. You know,
right?
I'll give you an example. You can have a 75-year-old hip fracture patient that you're doing a rehab for. And when you look at their medical history, you see that they've had long-term prednisone use because they have asthma all their adult life. And they
red
have
flag.
Red flag. And yeah. And you go to ask them, oh, have you ever had a DEXA scan? And they look at you like, why are you even asking me that? Nobody brought that up before. And what I'm seeing now, I would say, in the last maybe 3-4 years or so, patients do get DEXA scans. Cancer patients get DEXA scans. Eligible females get DEXA scan. Premenopausal females get DEXA scan. All of that. Whoever is eligible will get a DEXA scan. And then nothing happens to it. They had a DEXA scan and that's it. So oftentimes I'll ask these patients, have you ever had a DEXA scan? Oh yeah, I had one 2 years ago. And then what happened? I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
well, is it in that particular case, somebody's had a DEXA scan and then they don't, you know, there was no follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Did that mean that they had osteoporosis? Were they at risk? Even if they were deemed to be at risk, is there still no follow up?
Yes, there are. It often happens that if they were deemed to be at risk, there was no follow up. It becomes a check off in their physical, yearly physical. And oftentimes it happens that there was no follow-up. But I feel like I don't want to hold the providers fully responsible for that because we need to do some kind of patient education. We need to do get all the providers on board. We need to get physical therapists on board to encourage patients to say, okay, you had a DEXA scan. And if you didn't hear back, did you call back to find out what happened? Another thing that I almost always see that if there has been a follow-up, there's lack of referrals to the providers. There's lack of referrals to the right kind of specialist who can actually treat osteoporosis. So these patients do get left behind, you know, and we wait for a what I call a bone attack.
You mean a fracture?
Yeah, I mean a fracture. And I say
that's actually a good, I had not heard that before. That's actually a good idea.
And I say that because I like to compare it to a heart attack, you know? So oftentimes, you know, we find ourselves playing catch with that and we don't want to do that. You know, we want to prevent that bone attack at any cost as we can.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because when I was, you know, I'm not a clinician, you know, I'm a medical device guy
that knows a lot.
Yeah. I'm just curious that way, you know, in that regard. It's just like, you know, and I got pulled into this, but it's like, I always hear this, when I talk to, over the years I've talked to, and I this is a well-established thing now, you know, that patients, you know, I feel fine, you know, why? You know, and I had a PA, a nurse practitioner, tell me one day, she said, you know, who had been treating these patients for years, said she finally broke through that by, okay, I got a patient who's like, you know, trying to explain to the patient that you may have a problem here and we need to do something about it, but I feel fine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, did you feel fine before you had your first heart attack? Mm-hmm. Most people do until it happens, you know. How about your first stroke? Mm-hmm. Same thing. There's nothing different about what we're talking about here from a preventative care.
Yes, exactly.
Because the consequences are as severe in some respects, you know. And I think part of this is that patients perceive a heart attack, the aftermath of a heart attack and stroke are devastating. They don't see that same thing with a fracture, a broken hip, although it can kill you.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, it's like, this is a big problem from an educational standpoint, from a public health educational standpoint, that I don't think you and I can solve. But we might be able to affect it in our little worlds where we're working now, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, of course.
So I think that this, so tell me about, you know, in the PT world, and I know the answer to this, but let's talk about it. How widespread or knowledgeable are PTs in general about osteoporosis? And I know the answer, so tell me what the solution is.
I'll tell you this, that osteoporosis, when it comes to curriculum and education, it is taught during their college
education.
It's part
of your curriculum?
It's a part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
However, it's not the forefront. It's not like a big topic. As compared to hip fractures or fracture rehab in general.
Right.
But it is taught. It is taught as a topic of interest. And that's
a sideline.
A sideline topic in the background, right. Not going into that much of details. And then it carries forward, right? You become a new physical therapist and you're thinking, oh yeah, osteoporosis was touched upon, but I know a little bit about it, but that's about it. And they also know that they're not going to get as many referrals, because when physical therapy students go for their, say their clinicals, they're not really seeing big populations of osteoporosis. So they're lacking not only that deeper clinical knowledge, but they're also lacking that practical knowledge of treating these patients. So it is a problem, you know, and I personally feel it's the lack of referrals that's not giving us that clinical exposure. That motivation to look further, motivation to do some research, motivation to come up with guidelines for treating these patients. So I think that's where we stand as far as physical therapists being competent in treating these cases is concerned.
Well, it's the referral problem that is common to everything in this, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, I've had orthopedic surgeons tell me that have a bone health clinic, and the nurse practitioner that runs the bone health clinic says, my orthopedic surgeons forget to refer patients to me that obviously should be referred. There's no mechanism even within my own office for this, right? You know, so that's one of the things that we think technology can solve. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you solve that problem, then the other problem is then you've got a volume that you need to deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another thing that we're kind of, we framed out and built into our model, our platform model and all that. But I also think that, you know, the educational thing that you just described relative to your curricula of bone health's a sideline. What if in the standard course of training physical therapists, it's impressed upon them that you could change this. You part of your function could be to identify patients that have osteoporosis during the course of your, it's not so much getting osteoporosis patients specifically referred to you, which I want to talk about what that could look like. But also once you've got a patient that you're working on, that part of your brain, part of your checklist should be bone health assessment for this one, you know, and educating them on that. Does that sound like something that would
work? That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And I'll tell you, in the last 15 years ago, we did a study on this. And we went into colleges to see how students and new physical therapists, new grads feel about how confident they feel about treating patients with osteoporosis.
I read that article. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
And mm-hmm. And when we came out on the other end of it, we saw that their whole perspective of osteoporosis had changed after we provided them with the education, an all-rounded right. education. And we try to break this barrier of placing osteoporosis within the realm of geriatrics, and show them actually data, educated them on data, right from young athletes to older adults. So the entire lifespan, how bone health can help in prevention as well as fracture rehab, and then going from there, preventing secondary right. fractures and such. And we saw that there was a huge increase in their confidence, the way they felt about physical therapy. But what, you know, physical therapy being actually a tool in taking these patients forward, and they were all excited and everything. But then I always, you know, think back and say, yeah, I gave them this education. Now, what do they do with it when they get into the clinics? Because there's
it's no repetition pathway, and follow up,
right? There's no yeah. pathway for them to carry this forward. I wish there was a pathway, but I think little by little, even though our study stopped, we concluded the study in 2 years. That study only lasted 2 years. But to this day, I am continuing to give that education in colleges in New York that I can reach out to. So, and I see that excitement in these physical therapists, the new grads that really, I always tell them, you're going to have a different perspective on osteoporosis when you come out at the other end of this lecture. And they do. But then again, they don't have volumes of osteoporosis patients to apply that knowledge on that they have gained.
Right, right. So, okay, hold that thought for 1 second, because what you just told me is one of the main things that ASOP was founded on was creating a certification program for bone health practitioners, right? And we're now coming through our pilot. And of course, we have 40 practitioners in our pilot right now, testing the curriculum. And these are nurse practitioners, a couple of MDs, even pharmaceutical reps, believe it or not, you know, about 40 of them. And there's a basic and an advanced. And I have to check with Dudley as to he's the one running all that. So the feedback we're getting is enormously positive relative to I thought I knew a lot. Now I know a lot more and I feel much more confident.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I just
told you. It's the confidence thing that keeps coming out of much more confident in treating these patients, recognizing the problem, knowing what to do with them. You know, blah, 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 blah. In the same complaints. We don't have standards, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know what? In this scenario, we're giving you what you need, right? You know? Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see at the end of the summer. We're going to do another podcast on that pilot itself. Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like physical therapists could benefit from our certification program as well, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, of course they can benefit. Of course they can benefit.
Well, you know, and PT is one of those things, you know, like I think, and I know you agree with me, and, you know, we're, I don't know what you'd call us, a couple of lunatics, I think, thinking about this kind of stuff all the time. PTs could play a real pivotal role in bone health care because what we're doing is targeting the orthopedic workflow for the source of patients and also helping hospitals and from a financial standpoint, recognize that we can prevent fractures that has a financial impact. We can identify patients into a new bone health service line that has a financial impact. And these are patients you didn't even know existed in your practice already. You're seeing these patients every day, but you don't know, you know, you're seeing them for a total joint, you're seeing them for a total knee. They may be off the charts at risk and you would never know it unless we figured out how to do it in the workflow to identify them. That's one of our main things, right? And then the referral process out. So I think that, you know, and orthopedic surgery is so tied to physical therapy.
Right? Absolutely, 100%.
So there's a tie-in here somewhere where physical therapists, you know, if it's not a specific bone health clinic that they have under their, okay, you're going to PT now for your total knee. And then the PT becomes the front line of identifying that patient and managing them and their osteoporosis. And by the way, it's profitable. Mm-hmm. We've figured that out.
Yeah.
You know, although we haven't been able to demonstrate that widely yet because we're still in the early stages. But it seems to me that physical therapy, again, coming back to that recurring theme of, could take a real central role in this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my feeling on this is, of course, physical therapy has a pivotal role in this. Every patient that needs functional recovery, I tell my coworkers, my peers, my friends who also are physical therapists, I tell them this all the time, that you're focused so much on getting their muscle strength back, making sure muscle balance is created, making sure that they're functioning properly, their body mechanics is good. And you're treating a patient after a knee replacement, or after a hip fracture, after an internal fixation or fixator of an arm on a hip fracture, what are you doing for their bone? You work in an orthopedic environment, for God's sake. You cannot ignore the bone. It's a part of their function.
I gotta tell you, throughout my career, I've worked with orthopedic surgeons for a long, long time. And, you know, and I can't tell you, and it took a long time for me to come to this recognition. It wasn't until I started working on this that the connections, the dots were connected. Mm-hmm. In that it mystifies me to this day as to why orthopedic surgeons, the most basic fundamental thing that the material they operate on, its bone health is ignored. You know, they don't even think about it until they're in the operating room and, you know, this bone is mush and, you know, they have a fracture and, you know, and it's like preoperatively and, it, you know, and yeah. Right now the mindset is, you know, well, I'm not going to change anything that I do. It's like, no, you don't have to. Just make sure that they get referred somewhere where they can, where this can be addressed. Right. You know,
so
because it has an implication on periprosthetic fractures and implant loosening and all that stuff. Later on, some of these problems that you deal with that surface, you know, a stem loosening in a total hip or periprosthetic fracture are all based on osteoporosis.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. This is what I, you know, you're just like saying exactly what I say in the physical therapy world too, mm-hmm. that we are seeing these fracture rehab patients, right? In every facility you can imagine. We are seeing them in acute care hospitals. We are seeing them in rehab hospitals. We are seeing them in long-term care. We are seeing them in outpatient facilities for their fracture rehabs. Where do you think this fracture is coming from?
Yeah.
You know, why are we not connecting that dot and saying, oh, I don't see any patients with osteoporosis. As a physical therapist, it's my responsibility, and I do this all the time for other diagnoses, reach out to the provider, make sure I have the provider on board if I can help them in any other way. So why do I always stop at post-fracture, post-operative functional rehab and say, that's it, this is all I can do for you? No, you can do a lot more. You can reach back out to the provider and discuss with them that, oh, I did the immediate short-term goal of bringing them back to their function. Can I now also do a little bit of osteoporosis treatment with them so I can educate them better on bone health and educate them on mm-hmm. what kind of exercises specifically they should be doing to prevent mm-hmm. a secondary fracture? So that's the extra step that needs to be taken and that those dots need to be connected.
Well, as far as connecting dots are concerned, okay, let's pretend for a minute you have a magic wand.
Okay.
Whing! Okay, I'm going to, how would you see physical therapy becoming more central to bone health care from your perspective?
Right. So I've thought about this a lot in the past. In my own mind, I've been thinking, oh, what can we do to make sure that we're not really playing catch all the time, right?
Right. Right.
So there's two pathways. One is your standardized care pathway. The minute a patient gets diagnosed with low bone mass, they're automatically sent to physical therapy. That's like your basic simple. They're sent to physical therapy for balance training, for postural strengthening, for making sure that they are educated on the kind of exercises they should be doing,
So essentially strengthening and fall prevention is what you're talking about.
Strengthening and fall prevention. And when it comes to strengthening, it's the right type of strengthening that needs to be taught to the patient. So specific, it won't be anything different from a patient walking in the door with a prescription for back pain.
Right.
It won't be anything. Yep. That's your basic pathway, basic, you know. And the other pathway would be a physical therapist looking at the entire medical history of a patient who they are now treating after a knee replacement, as an example.
And Do they do that?
No.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't come across anyone that does that. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is, right?
Yeah, because we're not talking about it enough, and we're, you know, but I'll tell you, I've done it. I've talked to some of my close friends who are trying to be, you know, supportive to me, and they've done it. And I have never had a problem in getting a physician on board in this respect. So,
once they're aware of it,
and I've never had reimbursement issues because we're really not making up anything. You know, there really is a problem that we are trying to address. So so these are the two pathways. But I'll tell you, more often than not, it's the reverse pathway in my experience that I've had patients with osteoporosis, where I have had to get in touch with the physician and say.
So you made the diagnosis or raised the flag, and then you're going back up the chain going, okay.
Yeah, raise the flag.
That makes sense.
Right.
That's what I kind of envisioned that. You know, PT would be kind of a catch-all.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
These patients fall through the cracks. They fall through the cracks, and then they get to you, and you stop that, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
kind of,
yeah.
So education and the next generation. I have next on the list here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this. So you've researched how PT students. We talked about that
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you seeing shifts in how younger PTs approach bone health now, or?
I'm not seeing big shifts. I'm waiting for that. And the reason, as I expressed before too, they're very excited to gain the knowledge. Our questionnaires, our testing shows that they improved and, you know, they improved their confidence, they improved their knowledge. And I feel that I'm not seeing the shift because there is no field for them.
There's no follow-up.
There's not enough of those referrals. We keep kind of going back to the same problem again because they don't have a clinical field of applying this knowledge that they have.
Yeah. They just don't have enough patients to actually
practice on. They don't have enough patients. They don't have enough clinical instructors when they go for their clinical affiliations because no one's really catching these patients. So they don't really get any clinical exposure to these patients. So the limited knowledge that they got, you know, it's forgotten because they're never going to use that knowledge or they're going to use it very minimally, you know. So I'm not seeing any as many shifts as I would like to see.
Yeah, that's too bad. And it's just really a matter of, you know, part of what, again, the other thing, you know, we're doing a lot here at ASOP, right, you know. Mm-hmm. We're thinking a lot about the next generation, right? And, you know, the younger guys and females, women we see coming into this field from one direction or another, whether they're in nurse practitioner, PAs, or surgeons or whatever, are extremely technically savvy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on it. And they're comfortable using technology. And that's what we're banking on right now, you know, is like, that group seeing it, but it's amazing to me how a lot of them I talk to, the younger ones in particular, are like, there's no technology here. I mean, we're way behind.
Yeah.
I mean, we're way behind and it's like, but anyways, so do you have any final thoughts or reflections on this and any, you know, if you were to, leave this conversation and for our listeners in particular, what is it you really want them to know about PT? And keep in mind, our listeners are all, you know, generally practitioners, nurse practitioners, APPs in general, a lot of surgeons listen to what we're doing. What would you want to say to them about PT?
I want to say specifically about PT being a part of osteoporosis rehab program.
Right.
So I want to say that PT can help and it's a really powerful tool in every stage of the way, right from the point that a patient gets a diagnosis of low bone mass or osteoporosis up to the point where they actually sustain, unfortunately, a fracture and complete their fracture rehab. So sending a patient for PT can not only help in preventing a fracture, but can also help in functional recovery and then preventing a primary, a secondary fracture. So you can think about it. This is really a whole life cycle of a patient with an osteoporosis, with a diagnosis of osteoporosis. So PT can help in maintaining, restoring their functional independence, maintaining their muscle balance, educating them in the right kind of bone health nutrition, making referrals to the right kind of providers so that high standards of care are practiced.
You know, as you're saying that, what struck me is that PT brings more of what we've been talking about. Others have talked about this, but bringing PT closer into this really does bring more a holistic approach.
Oh, absolutely.
To osteoporosis care for these patients. I mean, others have talked about that, but you know, on one side there's, you know, the drugs first, you know.
Yeah. But how many patients want to do the drugs?
There's still that, there's still a lot of stuff around
that.
Right.
When I do my community outreach, I do tell patients, see, there's three pillars of this treatment. There's medication, there's physical therapy, and there's nutrition.
Yes.
So if you do need medication, then don't be resistant to it. Be in touch with your clinical provider. Don't think that physical therapy and nutrition will suffice for medication. If you need it, you need it. However, physical therapy and nutrition hold their own spot in your recovery, because medication can metabolically improve bone mass and density, but only physical therapy can reverse the loss of muscle strength, balance, and help an individual gain their confidence in safe movement. So all three pillars of your treatment have their own spot in your recovery. And even if you're missing one, you're really not getting a full treatment.
Well, you know, this has all been great. Dr. Payal Sani from Burke Rehab Hospital in West Nyack, thank you. I am convinced now that you are the voice of PT in bone health.
Oh, Peter, thank you for those kind words. I'm just a small voice, but
but an effective one, I have to admit.
I hope so.
You're everywhere. I mean, you're everywhere. But now you've been to the basement, so
I've
now you really
basement.
Arrived.
Yeah, this was a great experience. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure, and you know, this is going to be. We're going to roll PT as part of our conversation into that. I think it's really important. I think, you know, again, we talked about this, but the whole concept of being able to identify patients that otherwise would fall through the cracks in the physical therapy space, I think is a really important component of patient identification in this.
Yes.
And it's something that I think we should talk more about. So again, thank you very much for your time.
And
I'm going to ask you back a year from now, let's talk again and see where we are.
Hopefully we've made a lot of progress in the next year. I hope so.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps up our conversation with Dr. Payal Sani on the untapped power of physical therapy in bone health care. If today's discussion made you think differently about how we approach high-risk patients, we'd love for you to keep the conversation going. The Bone Health Basements Tapes has been a co-production of the American Society of Osteoporosis Providers and the Digital Bone Health Study Group. Check us out at www.theasop.org for more episodes, resources, and updates on how we're working to transform bone health care. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Bone Health Basement Tapes.